Hello and welcome to a VO's Journey podcast. My name is Anthony Pica. This show is all about helping the new and upcoming voiceover artists grow their business and sidestep all the crazy things that I seem to always step on. We have an amazing episode, number 217. We are interviewing the CEO, Rolf Veldman of Voice 123. I'm so excited to share this interview with you. It was fantastic. Rolf, such an interesting guy, amazing information about not just Voice 123, not just about the massive AI report they just released, but about voiceover business in general and how we can succeed as voiceover actors and his thoughts about the industry and the future and how you can succeed on his platform. So I'm super excited. Let's get into this. I won't spend too much more time. And by the way, there'll be some links below that you can check out more information about Rolf and Voice 123, as well as some reports that they've released on AI, etc. All right, let's do it.
This is VO's Journey. With your host, the incomparable Anthony Pica.
All right. Well, hello. It is an honor and excitement to be here with Rolf Veldman, the CEO of Voice 123. First off, of course, I have to thank you so much. Thank you for coming to a VO's Journey podcast, my friend. Thank you.
Oh, very happy to be here. Very nice to finally talk to you.
It is. It's a blast. I'm super excited to talk to you about Voice 123. We've got a bunch of wonderful questions, and so much is going on Voice 123, especially with the new report that you guys just posted that you spent the last year and a half or 2 years or so working on about AI, and we're going to get into that. But I want to start off by really just asking you, hey, how did you get started in the voiceover industry and then, you know, become the CEO of Voice 123?
Yeah, no, so like we were just talking right before this interview, we're relatively similar time frames. So I was actually trained as an historian back in the Netherlands where I'm from, which I'm trying to hide my accent a bit, but you can hear the S flowing through.
No, you're doing a good job. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm from the Netherlands. I studied history there and I worked for local government and was deeply unhappy with the job that I was doing. I was able to save some money, and with my then girlfriend and now wife, I quit my job. We moved to Latin America to travel around for a bit. I arrived in Colombia, where out of pure happenstance, I met the founder of Voice 123. So I knew one person in Colombia who introduced me to one person in Colombia, and that's how we got there.
Wow.
And after a couple of months, we decided to do a couple of projects together. Over time, that grew in a very professional relationship. And then all the way in 2018, after I've been sort of trained for the job, they moved me to the CEO position on Voice 123 to take the company to the next step. And that's what I've been doing for the last 3 years. So,
wow, that's incredible. So, like, did you have any, like, what did you think about voiceover? I mean, did you have anything with voiceover? Or do you?
By 2018, I knew a lot about it. But when I first met them in 2015, I knew nothing. I think as most people who look at the voiceover industry, because,
yeah,
and it's only something I realized in the last couple of, I think maybe even months, that the voiceover industry only exists technically for voice actors. Everybody outside who works with voice actors doesn't really know what the voiceover industry is, and then try to learn more about it and what is it and how does it work. And there's all these special rules. So it took me a while to get to know it and
you know,
and learn
actually,
about it. But yeah,
you're right. You know, that is actually such a good point, because so many of the people who are running businesses, right? They're business people.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, and it is quite different than necessarily being a voice actor. You're so true. That is actually very accurate. I still talk to people, say, hey, what do you do? And I say, hey, I'm a voice actor. They're like, well, what's that? I mean, people don't, you know, there's still people really don't even know about it, because it is really a small sect, a very small sect of, you know, the, even though voice actors are everywhere.
Yeah.
Know,
and
it, all
and
the
like,
time.
And it's a super fast growing part of the world as well. So everything that is video is also voice, right? So by definition,
absolutely,
considering video is growing so much, the voice is growing so much. But most stereotypes, and mine were the same, okay, voice acting means that you do movies.
Right.
But everybody knows that voice acting is not movies and commercials. The bulk of the work happens in that whole meaty middle section where there's a lot of voiceover content being created. So just trying to understand that, trying to understand how to do pricing, try to understand the type of people that work in people buying voiceover work and people trying to sell their voiceover work. So it was a steep learning curve, but I enjoyed it a lot.
That's awesome. What drew you to Voice 123? I mean, like, what was it about Voice 123 that you kind of fell in love with?
So I think a big part of the story that was sold to me back then, which I think is still a big part of the founding story, is that they were trying to be different than everybody else in the industry. So the founding story is that Tanya and Alex, who Tanya was a voice actress, Alex was an engineer. Tanya was fed up with all these people in the middle trying to take a piece of whatever she was creatively creating. So they created a platform that turned into like a marketplace where you as a creative professional can contact directly the client, and there's no people in the middle taking a piece, taking a piece, taking a piece, taking a piece. That whole approach to just not just voiceover work, but like freelance work in general, where you put people in the center and not all these middlemen, that drew me the most. The transparency, the openness, and the kind of activistic side to it is what excited me the most.
Yeah. And I mean, and now with what's happening in the world, I mean, it's come full circle, right, to this point now where we are living this. And I know that that started back in what, 2003, 2004?
Yeah, 2002, they started for the first time. 2003, it really started to get traction. So they were the very first to go digital. And the first response was, of course, like, this is weird. Let's not do that. Let's keep everything the same. But it had some good effects. You could say some bad effects. There's always negative effects of things getting larger and things getting more global. But overall, I think it's been a good change in the industry.
Yeah,
and it's been fun to be in a company that has shaped it and not to be in a position to maybe shape future trends as well.
So one of the most there's so many fascinating things I have about Voice 123, but one of them I found is many years, well, it was about 2 years ago or so, I wrote, well, about a year and a half ago, I did a article about really diving into, you know, Voice 123, learning all I could about the company, and just interested, you know, about it to give my readers and stuff more input or you know, more information. And one of the fascinating things that I saw was which doesn't happen with a lot of the other companies, and I know this because I've spoken with a lot of them. But like, you're in the Netherlands, I know there's a lot of people in Voice 123 that are all over the place, right? Yeah. I mean, all over the world. I find that actually very fascinating, because that's not necessarily normal with a lot of the companies, a lot of the voice acting websites either.
No, so it sort of happened organically. So again, coming back to Alexander and Tanya, who founded it, they were living in the States. They were trying to hire their first staff members, and most of their network was in Latin America. Right. They tried to hire there, but because of visa issues, let's start long distance. And over time, they grew in like a culture. Like, there's so many opportunities for people if they don't have to move to a location, but they can just work from the area that they're in. They can stay closer to the families, that they adopted this whole model of remote work. In Voice 123 as a general. So when the pandemic hit in 2020 and everybody had to go do this, the video call and this kind of interaction, we've been doing that for years already. And as a consequence of it, like, I'm from the Netherlands, but I just came out of a meeting with first from Ireland, from Colombia, from Italy. And then in the next call, I'm talking to a person from Indonesia. So all my team members are from different countries, and it makes for a very vibrant, interesting, fun culture.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, I think that's, I'm not saying other companies aren't doing that, but I find that really fascinating and the way of the future. I mean, I know I work with people all over the world, and it's quite incredible. And it gives you, I think, an insight too about what's happening so many different places. All right. So we can't have this interview without asking, all right, you know, we all want, voice actors' main job is to get work. Yeah. So before we dive into some of these other things, that amazing things that you guys are putting out, I wanted to ask, you know, what are your thoughts about someone's new or someone who's been in voiceover for a while and they're like, you know, they're trying to figure out, hey, where should I join? I like Voice 123 looks pretty great. I want to try it out. You know, what are some tips? What are some things that you've seen, data maybe you have, of people able to get work on your platform?
All right. So broad question. I think
that's it's a big question. So, I mean, I think like I know like there's the tiers that you have. You know, there's auditioning. You know, like maybe you know, what your thoughts about how many auditions people should be trying to do. Maybe if there's tips about you know break it down whatever way you think are the most important things.
I think we have to start sort of like conceptually almost why how Voice on 3 works compared to other places. So, like I mentioned, we were kind of activistic from the get-go that we don't want to be involved.
Right.
The whole part was let's build technology for people to connect. And then that connection happens. We don't know what happens next, but we assume that voice actors work with their clients in studios and create content.
Yeah.
I think you should still approach Voice on 3 like that. So you shouldn't go on Voice on 3 if you're expecting Voice on 3 to give you then work and help you with the deliverable, help you with the recording. Like if you manage the relationship, I would actually recommend going to other platforms if you're looking for that kind of exposure. So you need to be ready to be like a small entrepreneur when you're on Voice on 3 because and that's what our what clients like about Voice on 3 and what they like with the type of voice actors that they work on Voice on 3 is voice actors who are very responsive, who are able to be helpful in the studio. So like we talked before, the VO industry exists mostly from the voice actor side. So I think if you're joining Voice on 3, you need to realize that you're always the expert in the room because we try to position Voice on 3 as sort of like the Google of voiceover, meaning that if you're a client and you're trying to get introduced to voiceover, you're going to Voice on 3. But also if you're looking for very premium talent, you're going to Voice on 3. Or like there's a whole range.
Yeah.
It means that you often get to work with people who have no idea what they're doing. So you have an educational position, but you're managing that relationship. I might be going too deep straight away, but what I'm trying to get at is
a really good point because not all platforms are like that. And I like that you brought that up because that's appealing, especially for, and you know, I go on a limb for a lot of my audience because, you know, our goal is, you know, to build our businesses, right? And we're trying to build them as entrepreneurs, as business people as well. So that type of idea is very appealing, right? Because,
plus it's how how the voiceover industry works from a voice act perspective. It's so some people they think I can do this as a voice actor. I'm gonna join a couple of platforms. I'm gonna audition and in some cases people get booked straight away and they think okay this is easy. I can make money at home with a mic. Well, getting the occasional job is hard enough. For some it might be easy. The difficult part is not getting started in the voiceover industry. It's staying there. And I believe the only way to stay there. And that's how all businesses operate. Whenever I go to an investor, none of the investors are going to ask, like, how many new people have you signed up? They're all going to ask, how many of the people that you signed up are still with you?
Right.
Right. And that's how you should approach your as a voice actor as well. Like, how can I make sure that the person that I work with today or I have a chance to work with today, I get to work with again in the next couple of years? Or how can I make sure that they recommend me to others? And I think that's the concept of Voice on 3. That's why the whole idea of the platform is you build your portfolio on Voice on 3 with a free profile. Now, the fact that companies like Voice on 3 exist is just, like you said, you need to get work as a voice actor. So our job is to make sure clients come. Right. And again, we position a sort of like Google where you are your membership. You can almost treat it like a marketing budget to generate leads. Right. So I want to receive plenty of invitations so I can talk to clients, I can audition to clients, and out of that, create long-term clients. And that's how the memberships work. You basically pay any of the tiers, depending where you're in, to generate more and more invitations or to get more and more visibility on our Google search so that more clients can find you and you can build your portfolio. So that's basically the conceptual approach to how Voice on 3 is built, and I think it's how it's slightly different. We're not trying to be in the middle. We're just trying to connect. You take it from there.
I like that. That's actually really, you know, and now, no offense to the website, but that is a great explanation. I don't think, honestly, like on the website,
it doesn't say that.
No. Well, not like that. I mean, clearly, because we're talking to you, right? I mean, but I think the way you said it there, that makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, from the standpoint of looking at it as like, you know, you're paying, you know, as the tiers go up, you're paying for more marketing opportunities, which makes sense, right? I mean, it makes complete sense that way. And it does kind of say that when you read the marketing tiers, what they offer, but not in that way. So I'm glad that you put it that way, because that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I think in general, we as a company, because I keep coming back to that, because we never wanted to be in the way, it's always been, at least when I tried to learn about Voice on the Three outside looking in, I didn't really understand who they were in the first place and then what they were about, because we always try to be in the background facilitating. And I think in the last couple of years, we realized, okay, we have, our duty is a bit bigger. We need to first better explain what Voice on Three is in the first place, but then also we have something to offer. Like most clients, like we have the biggest client database in the world, meaning most of the voice buyers are on Voice 123. There's a lot of insights, right? So whenever there's a trend changing in the industry, we should tell our voice actors so they can learn from it. We should share more information about what's happening in this network of voiceover. And that's something that we're trying to change in the last couple of years. That's why we have these new initiatives. That's why we're building these reports, to make sure that the industry that we're in, that we're no longer just a facilitator. We need to be more active and more educational, more of a player there. We need to share with our audience what's happening. And I think so our role is slightly changing. But fundamentally, the platform stays the same. You, the voice actor, are the person with the power.
No, I love that. And with that being said, I wonder, do you all... well, like any company, you know, you're going to have data. But like, is there a... You know, just like nitty gritty stuff. So like someone comes on the website, they pay for, you know, let's just say they pay for the entry tier and they're starting to get opportunities and they start to audition. Do you find that, you know, because being an actor my whole life and then, of course, getting a voice actor like we talked about, you know, auditioning is how you get work. It's a part of how you get work. So do you find any certain amount, like people are more successful if they do this amount of auditions on a daily basis? Do you guys keep any of that information, or do you anything that you're like, hey, these are the people that are doing really big work and they do this? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's a good question. And we should go deeper into that, because we have so many people on our platform that we use technology to make sure that people get invitations and other people maybe get invitations later or not at all. And basically, what Voice on the Three is, that if you are trying to book a voice actor via an audition system, you want to get very relevant auditions, right? So you want, they're basically the clients that use Voice on the Three to make sure that we send them the right voice actor who are the most capable for the work. So having that in mind, we've built a system to make sure that if, let's say you audition to a job that you think it's unlikely, it's not really in my wheelhouse, I'm going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Well, it's good for the experience on your own to do the recording and to test that. Like if you do that in all of your auditions, so if you basically play a volume game, then you're going to see fewer invitations coming, because what our system is telling us through the reviews of our clients, this was not very relevant. This was not very relevant. This was not very relevant. Hmm. So we want you to be picky.
Interesting. Okay. That's a good piece of information, because some platforms, the idea generally, and it's always been my idea, right? The more you got to get a lot out there, because, you know, you don't know in the end what people are searching for. So
but that's something different. So because I agree. And I think so. We're now having a conversation about auditioning and basically traditional casting. Right. You could say we're a marketplace. Technically, we're like. Casting technology. That's what Voice on the Three is.
Okay.
I think it's slightly changing the way that part of the VO industry works. We have two ways to get work on Voice on the Three. One is to audition, and the other one is to have a very relevant profile. And basically a client goes to your profile, listens to samples, listen to a playlist that you've made, and they book you based on that. So your profile is like your business card. Our vision of the future is that the industry will shift more towards that last part and less towards the very traditional audition approach. And so what we changed in the last couple of years is that everybody can upload unlimited audio to Voice on Three on your profile. You can create as many relevant samples as there are, because this is how our client base is using the search. What they do is, most people don't know what they need. Right. There's a couple of super well-educated voice clients that already know I need this type of person, and that's what they need to do. This is the kind of equipment that they need. Like, we don't necessarily have to help them. They figure it out.
Right.
Most people come to Voice on the Three and they type in Morgan Freeman. Right?
Right.
Because, and still the most searched for term when it comes to voiceover. And we publish like what are the most popular keywords.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It's because people, they try to find a reference. They don't know necessarily what conversational means. Like, that's a very terminology-driven, like a voiceover thing to say, okay, this needs to be very conversational. It needs to sound like me, is what a person would sort of type towards.
Yeah.
What we realized is what's happening. They search for, let's say, Morgan Freeman, and then we showcase the profiles that have a sample that has the word Morgan Freeman in there somewhere. They listen to the first 2 seconds. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. So 2 to 5 seconds. I like it. I go to the profile, and that's where I maybe look at a demo, maybe research some more. So how we're trying to position Voice on the Three is that whatever kind of work you do, make sure you have it in sample size.
Mm.
If you've done auditions, turn them into samples, upload them to your playlist. Make sure you put keywords in them, similar to how people would work, get SEO training to work on Google. We basically adopted that model. Make sure that your samples are relevant. And that's how people will find you. And then they contact you directly. I think more and more it will go towards that kind of mechanism.
I so love
that's
that.
That's why we have the two systems.
No, I think that's fantastic. And because the demo, it's so vital to have. We all know in the past and even today, right, our demos are the calling card. It's the basis of our work. However, because of 2 seconds, that's true. And because of speed of everything, a sample tells someone all they need to know just like that. So having, you know, so making sure that you have a wide range there in short form, I think is very smart. And that's good to know. Thank you for saying that.
It came actually from that idea. So it's the traditionally what you need to do as you start your voiceover career, you need to get a demo. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody will say to you. Mostly demos, you create demos to get an agent, not to get a client or to get booked. Because especially if they use, and that's, I'm talking from a very platform, like from a Voice on the Three ecosystem, right? So I know it's not true in all places, but where let's say the future of Yo is there, is that when people search for, let's say I need a fun conversational voice, and then you get a demo, and somewhere in the middle of the demo is where they recognize that piece. They're never going to get to that, right?
Right.
The instant search term needs to be connected to the instant audio file. So that's why we don't use the word demo per se on Voice on Three. We use playlist because they are more easy to understand for people that are new to the industry. And most people who work in the voiceover industry are new to the industry.
Yes,
most people are just a marketeer that needed to build a next commercial, like a 5-second commercial for their company. And they Googled voiceover and they came to a platform and now they're talking to a person. And that person says, well, I have a rates list with usage and with all these different components, and this is how it works. And in that process, they get educated. But it starts with, I have to build this commercial. And it used to be you call your local agency, you go into Yellow Pages, but now you just Google voiceover.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, because you just that point you made up about the volume idea maybe on Voice 123 is not the best idea based on clients being able to give feedback. Can you speak just a little bit more about that? Because I think that is extremely important for voice actors, because, you know, they could be wondering, hey, why am I not getting as many auditions? What's happening? And that's a really important point. I think knowing a platform like Voice 123, what you're talking about is paramount, is vital.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and we actually have a fundamental flaw in our system that we don't give that kind of feedback to the voice actor, which is something that we're working on right now to make sure that the kind of feedback that the client gives, and the feedback is very simple. Yes, no, or like, no, like. This is what is useful for my project and this is not. We're going to give that back to the voice actor so they can see, okay, hey, all these jobs about, let's say, more animated work or more corporate VO or more commercial work, that's really resonating. And this part is not. We're going to give that feedback, but essentially that's how it works. As a client, you get, let's say, 20 auditions, and you indicate which one you think is a match and which one is not by giving them a like, and that counts. So we then take a year's worth of information, And then we compare all the voice actors. Well, person Anthony submitted 100 proposals, got one or two likes. And then Rolf submitted 200 proposals and also got one or two likes. Well, then Anthony is favored a bit more than Rolf.
Gotcha.
Right. So that's how we're comparing, and that's how we're using the information. So if you're doing like a shotgun strategy, go for everything. It's inherent in our platform that we're going to try to prevent that from happening, because it makes the people that we're trying to provide work for the voice actors less happy, and less happy clients means less happy voice actors, and the cycle continues.
No, I got you. That's great. So I guess that actually helps transition to the next thing, and maybe this is why you did it, was the booth, or you know, what you guys created. Because I was going to say, you know, the logical question for me then to ask you is, as a voice actor trying to figure this out, how then do I know what people are searching for? Where do you know, like, what, you know, I should put down as in my voice? So then, of course, the idea of, well, education. We've got to educate people on you know, what there should be, what people are looking for, and how they can match. So I'm not sure if that's what the booth is, but can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's a really cool thing that you guys have created.
Yeah. So it came from a similar activistic point of view as how we started, because there's a small fact about the VO industry. People who are getting started as an actor spent, and this is a wide range, spend between $2,000 and $25,000 in their first year just on getting educated. It's not on hardware. It's about doing demos. That's about doing courses, doing classes. And we're not saying that's not important. It's important to get educated on all different realms, but it shouldn't be that costly. So what we try to do with the booth is, I'm never going to be a coach, right? I don't have the knowledge for that. What I have is, I have the knowledge how clients, and we call them clients in Voice 123, what they search for, what they need when they're looking for a voice actor. And that's where the booth is for, to share more and more of those kind of information about the industry, tools to get started on companies like Voice 123, not just Voice 123, because I know that if you're starting as a VA, you're not just going to Voice 123. Most people either have a client, they have an agent, they might be on multiple platforms.
Right.
I would also never start Voice 123 as a paying member if I was you. I was always started for free, because then you already get some access about some auditions. Because again, there's certain platforms where there's different type of work, like compared to Voice 123, and maybe the type of work that's on Voice 123, which is more commercial and more VO, more corporate VO, animation is also growing in gaming. They might not be as relevant for you. So I would try it out and then commit to a paying plan, because you only have a limited budget and there's so many things to choose from right now that it's getting harder and harder. So the whole booth concept became, okay, this is trying to solve the questions that basically you and I maybe had 3 years ago. What is this thing, the VO industry? How does it work? And what is important to do for the next decade, and not just this is how it worked in the last 20 years, but this is how we see it changing for the future. And that's what the booth is about.
No, I think that's great. And I think and for the people who are listening, if they don't know, I mean, the booth is just like what you said. I mean, you guys created it's on Voice 123, right? It's a platform where you guys are writing articles, tutorials, educational material to help voice actors learn the industry and also their business. I think that's great. And you said something. You said something about the core. Is there a specific thing? You said corporate Voice 123. Has a lot of corporate narration. Is that something that does a lot on Voice 123?
Yeah,
okay. Okay. Because I mean, like we were talking, there's so much, and people, just like whatever platform you're on, oftentimes those platforms do end up inherently having a different audience or different clientele, right? That want different things. So it's nice to know, you know, like what's over here, what's over here, so that you can focus on that more. What you're talking about, right? It's focus.
Yeah. So I would go, if you are interested in learning more about corporate VO, is what we call it, or about, we call it mid and small section commercial, right? So that's more local and regional kind of commercial work that's happening on Voice 123. The biggest next two growing items are animation. And like and web. Of course, everything web is big, but I keep that under commercial. For me, web is small and mid commercial. Those are the four big pillars of Voice on the Three. Now, you can basically get work for everything. I think we're in every single country but North Korea.
Okay.
So there's a wide net, but if you're, so if those are your focus point, try Voice on the Three. But I also know that some of the work that happens on us doesn't happen anywhere else, and vice versa. One interesting research point. I know I keep sounding like a data guy here.
No,
I'm a historian. I don't know how things have changed so much. But when I hear myself talk, I'm sort of disappointed. But I did a research here, and right at the beginning, and we realized that let's say if you're trying to look for a voice actor, what happens is most likely you have the same project live on three or four platforms, and you have two agents. I think that's the most annoying part. In how the industry works is that a lot of people who buy voiceover, they sort of hedge. Let's post one on Budalgo, let's post one on Voice on the Three, let's do one on Fiverr and talk to two agents, and whoever is best, whoever is fastest wins. And specifically the fastest one is becoming more and more important. There's clients that say that three things are important. Easy to work with, and that basically means that you're available, and that you're able to talk to people and explain how voiceover works. And the other part is the quality. And I don't mean the performance or the acting part. It's more that your audio quality needs to be pristine. That I don't want to have any questions about that. That's the minimum requirement that they have. And the turnaround time. Like, how fast can you deliver this? And because my deadline is always yesterday.
Blame Amazon.
I mean, as a consumer, I'm okay, but as a CEO of Poison 3, I'm sort of upset with it.
No, but those to me too are, because I'm always looking at how to figure out what the client actually wants, and those three points, that's invaluable, because there are people who don't know that, or don't want to, at least, do that. Yeah. So that's really awesome, man.
But I think that people should take that not just on Voice on the Three, but in the way that they conduct their business. I assume that most people work from, let's say, an email account where they do most of their communication, right? So the problem with home studios and with global industry is that you always have to be online.
Yes.
But what I learned is that you don't necessarily have to always be online. You have to always be responsive. So a simple thing as saying, so a job comes in at 8 and I stop working at 7. But at that moment, there's an automatic reply saying, hey, I come back online in 3 hours. I get it. That's when I'm available. I'll reply to you then. Just setting that expectation is the difference between maybe losing a client or winning a client. I don't think you have to be online all the time. You just have to be clear in what you can bring, what you can offer, and what your expectations are.
So
I'm
going to put you on the spot. Does Voice123 have an automatic responder? Because no other site does.
No.
No other site does. That would be a really cool feature for you guys to have, because Fiverr, Voices, I don't think any of them, no one has that. No. I mean, you have Lightning, like you have responses that you can set up, but you still have to physically do it no matter what.
Yeah, but imagine if you could say offline, online, and when you're offline, you could just say, hey, anything urgent, contact me here. Not urgent, I reply tomorrow morning.
Like I do know some of them you can say offline, but I don't think there's responses set up.
No, but so if you have that responses to it, that would be great. So those are the kind of things that in Voice on 3 ecosystem is what we're thinking about as functionalities for our users, because they help both sides.
No, you're so right about speed. I learned that early on, even back when I, even though it's not like we were talking, it's not been too long, but back when I first started in 2017, I'll never forget. I had gotten someone messaged me for a job and said, hey, we're looking for someone. And I'll be like, great. Or they messaged me. I got the message. I replied 15 minutes later. And when I replied, they said, sorry, we already found someone else. Like in 15 minutes. And now that's not necessarily the norm, but it is. I mean, that was back in 2017. There are that is a part of what we have to deal with, and you can either ignore it or embrace it and figure out ways to excel at it. So I think that would be a really cool thing, whoever adds that.
Yep. But even when you build your own website, right? So most people mm-hmm. start with either WordPress or let's say Wix. They build their own first personal website. Mm-hmm. There's all these free tools that you can add to it. One is a pop-up that looks like a chat, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's free. Just adding that where people have the feeling they can talk to you directly is going to give you one or two clients that you otherwise would not have gotten. So I feel that if you're looking at VoiceOver from I am the owner of this business, which is my VoiceOver business, then you start to looking at those kind of customer service almost solutions that you're bringing to the table. And I think that's not something that comes natural to most, but you can.
No.
That's something that we want to do in the booth. Like these are things that are important right now because that's not how the industry used to work. You have people doing that for you.
No, absolutely. I this is just, and you might not have this number, but I'm just wondering this. In platforms in general, do you have an idea or just a generalization of what you think the platforms now control when it comes, not control, but have a piece of the pie of the voiceover industry? Do you have an idea what you think?
So in-house, we look at, we call it offline and online. And offline doesn't mean it's all without computers, but it's more traditional local networks and agencies. And for us, that's offline, and online are like marketplaces like ourselves.
Right.
And I think the offline, based on our research, the offline space is still bigger than the online place. Hmm. And we're just looking at North America and Western Europe in this case.
Wow, there's a lot. That means that's a ton of growth left.
We're so small. Like we're the biggest in the industry and we're so small. Wow. So I think VoiceOn 3 has maybe... of the total voiceover work, I think we might have about 4 or 5% at best.
Wow.
And where I would say that we're one of the two biggest ones in the industry. So there's all this space for, and it makes it hard for a voice actor because I did the research a couple of months ago where I thought, okay, how many marketplaces are there? I'm just going to spend an hour looking for them. I found about, I think about 200.
Yeah.
And that's just marketplaces, right? And mm-hmm. then you have all these agencies and you have all these different ways of getting voiceover work. So there's a huge market and it's very unclear, which imagine if you're going into it as a first timer, you have no idea where to start. And then people start maybe with VoiceOn 3 too soon and they think that doesn't work, or they go to Voices or they go with an agent and they get constantly disappointed. So, and which is why these podcasts are so important that you're doing right now.
Well, thank you. And thank you for that. And it's also too where they end up, like what group they just happen to come across.
Yeah.
Especially even like on Facebook or something, whatever, like whoever get, you know, because usually the first things you hear, they kind of become ingrained and that's what you base a lot of your stuff off of. Most people do. And, you know, if you get into a group that is anti this or pro that, you know, it could shape your whole belief system without having any a second opinion. So I totally agree, which does lead to this next part, which I'm really excited to talk to you because, you know, there is a battle. There's been a battle going on in the voiceover industry, right, with platforms, with online and offline for a long time. And there really hasn't been any – at least in my opinion, headway made, not much between the two sides. But to me, AI has, I think it has the potential to bridge a massive gap in the voiceover industry right now, because there is, no matter what anyone says, I think there is a gap between people who, like you said, the offline and the online. I love the way you put that. That's actually really, really good. That AI, to me, has a way to keep people at a certain price point, but then allowing people to still help people at a lesser price point with AI. This is my own thought process. But whether that is or what it is, I want to talk about this incredible report that you guys posted. And I love it too, because I know one of your core values is forward thinking, and that's what you've talked about a lot. But this report you just guys came out with, I'll shut up and let you talk about it. But tell us about it and what your thought behind it. And then I'm really interested about your thoughts about what you guys are going to do, because you left kind of like some bait there at the end. You're like, you know, we plan on investing to bring this to our clients and voice actors. So I'm excited to hear about it. So go ahead, tell us about this report and just take it away.
Okay. So I'm a historian, so I have to start a bit back. So when I joined the company, the first question I asked, like, and what are the opportunities and what are the threats to Voice 123? One of the threats that, and it was 2016 that we're talking about. One of the threats that we already talked about was that there's AI technology that's going to do synthetic voices, right? If that gets as good as humans are, then humans going to be replaced by AI, and therefore will Voice 123 cease to exist? Because if there's no voice actor on Voice 123, then Voice 123
right.
is not a business.
Right.
So that was the point of entry. So it was here straight away, like, this is, I need to keep my eye on this. And then when the years went by, we saw the technology getting better, more solutions that used synthetic voices work. Like, we see some of the bigger branded items. I think Descript is a company that is really in the open when it uses podcast editing tools with AI. There is the first AI that can cry. Those kind of branding moments happened. And what I realized, like, I feel like I'm in the dark. And so we as a team decided, whatever the future of the VO industry is going to be, we need to be part of the change, not responsive to the change. And we thought the way to do that was to bring it out in the open. So for the last year and a half, we tried to first contact as many of the companies trying to develop this. Then secondly, we tried to look for, if AI is going to impact the industry, what is it going to change? Is it going to change humans, or is it going to be a new category? Is it going to change existing categories? The only way we figured out we could do that is by having the people that buy VoiceOver tell us what they would use it for. So we ran an experiment where whenever you request auditions from a voice actor, you could also say, I would like to have an AI audition. What we then do is we add an AI voice audition to it. So we didn't take auditions away, we just added one to it. And after that, tried to get from the client what they would use it for, what type of work they would use it for, what they would pay for it. If they think it's good enough, because I think it's very clear to the trained eye, pardon my French, but AI sucks.
Right. Right.
The quality is just not good enough. But most people in the industry don't have trained ears, I should say, don't have trained ears.
Right.
So we tried to test it with people that are new to the industry, if they could recognize it as AI or not. And out of that, like a year-long almost research, we compiled where we think AI is going to change and the industry, what is coming next for the voice actors and the client. So a very obvious one is that IVRs is the very likely one to get changed by AI.
Right.
I was afraid, starting this project, that a lot of the work that we offer on Voice 123, which is like lower end commercial work, is a big volume. And then a lot of the VO corporate stuff, I thought that would be affected as well. Turns out that's not necessarily the case. The part that is that clients do want to use AI for is maybe as placeholders or for gaming and for hybrid forms of VO. And what I mean by hybrid forms is, I need an audiobook done, or I need an e-learning course done tomorrow. It's 7 courses. Mm-hmm. It's about 20 hours of finished material. I need 2 or 3 sections to be really good. The other parts don't need to be great, but I need to get the content across to my team. For those kind of interstitial VO work is where I think AI is going to create a whole new category to deal with that main problem that voice clients have, is that I need voice over work now.
Goes back to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and then, and that's how I see it becoming an impact on marketplaces like ourselves. So if we're the Google of voiceover, then we also want to make sure that voice actors like yourself. So let's say we have Anthony, and you have an AI version of Anthony. Might even be a teaser, like a marketing trick that you use. Look, type in some text and hear Anthony, the AI version of Anthony. I like Anthony. Right. I'm going to book Anthony. So I think that's how it's going to change slightly the audition process, right? It used to be, I'm going to have a script, I'm going to wait a couple of hours, and then I'm going to get that script in the voice of that person. That's actually where a lot of quality voice actors do the work, because that's where acting happens.
Right.
I can see for a big chunk of maybe not so broadcastable content, it's going to change. I want to have the teaser straight away. I want to know sort of what it sounds like, and then I talk to the real person. So I think that's how it's going to be harder used by voice actors. And then, there's so many different applications.
And
what we want to do as Voice 123 is make sure that as a voice actor, you know, okay, these are ethical companies. These are not ethical companies. This is how you how you protect yourself when you build an AI version of your voice. And this is how you can license it, because it could be a great entry point to like passive income. And from the other side, like how can we make your experience even better as a client getting introduced to voiceover by using AI solutions? So again, we just want to be the place where it happens.
Absolutely.
And then make sure that we give all the knowledge that we have, everything that we try to share, everything that we have in those reports, and share it with the voice actors. Because if the majority of your work right now is done through either IVR or gaming, then okay, then maybe try to change it up, because in the next couple of years that might be impacted.
So, yeah, no, absolutely. So what would you, what are your thoughts for, all right, so you have a voice actor, and you know, you're, because I'm right there with you in the sense that I really do believe, you know, progress, technology, I would rather go with it than just try to fight it, because there's more opportunities, I think. But what would you recommend, or your thoughts on a voice actor paying attention to what's happening? What can that, you know, like, well, you just said one thing, right? Maybe those industries that you identified are probably the first to have some stiff competition to start looking to go elsewhere. But what would you look for when it comes to, you know, hey, you should pay attention to this, because this might be a place where they're going to start, you can clone your voice. You know, I mean, I've tried some of them just to try, and they still kind of suck. But I mean, do you know what I'm saying, though? Like, is there, what should voice actors be paying attention to right now, and the limited capacity of what we could do? I mean, many of us are just, we have to watch what's happening. You know, there's nothing you can do about it.
So I think a lot of voice actors now have the approach, whenever they see words like TTS or AI voice, they say, no, that's bad. Right. Well, AI is like what CEO type people like myself say to over beautify technology. Technology is pretty dumb. That artificial technology is also pretty dumb. It's what you put in, you get out. Which means that a lot of companies right now are paying a lot of money to voice actors to get just to train some of their models. And not saying they're going to duplicate your voice, but they just want to see whatever, let's say Anthony records an hour, can I create it? Can I recreate it really well? And with every new iteration, they need a new recording of you, and I need a new recording and a new recording and a new recording. So I don't know if I should be saying this, but I think in the next, what the weird dynamic that's happening right now is that voice actors are getting paid a lot to record text-to-speech voices. I already know that in 2 years or 3 years from now, it's going to be the other way around. You're going to pay to get an AI voice as a voice actor. I would be very opportunistic right now. Make sure that you have a contract saying whatever I'm going to record for you now can only be used for this. Get paid in that process and be part of the change. Already have an AI voice where you get paid to have your own AI voice, instead of in maybe 3 years from now where there's going to be companies that are going to charge you a couple of thousand dollars, a couple of hundred dollars to have an AI version of your voice. Right now, the world is upside down when it comes to AI.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're, you know, and I haven't even considered that, you know what I mean? But that makes a lot of sense, because just like anything else, the people who control that, you know, it's going to be whatever they decide to do with it. And then you'll have to go to them, right? Because if that technology is not something that, well, let me ask you. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. So one thing is that in the report, it says $0 to $1 is what people will pay for it, right? But that is because the AI is not good. And it's the same in voiceover right now. You have people that pay thousands and thousands of dollars for voiceover projects with people, and people that pay $5 to $10 for voiceover work. That's because the quality is significantly different. It's going to be exactly the same with AI. If you're able to record a really good version, AI version of yourself, with the acting and capabilities that you have right now, meaning you can close to duplicate what you can do, you can charge really high fees for that. And companies are willing to pay for it. It's gonna, AI is basically a copy-paste version. It's never going to be smarter. It's just going to mirror how the industry is working right now. And how the industry is working right now is that 10% make a lot of money because they're really good, and they focus on the craft, and they make sure that the quality of audio is always good. And there's people that are just trying it out and maybe are not so good, and they get lower paid or work. AI is going to be exactly the same. So if you have that in mind, then that's a business opportunity as a voice actor. If I'm able to record a very good AI version of myself, I'm ahead of the curve.
That's really cool. I mean, I do think that there is going to be a majority, especially newer people coming in, right, who just, it is what it is. I mean, they're not going to get those contracts.
No. Nope.
They're not going to get, you know, and the people who are saying no, it's because people are trying to scalp voices off of for cheap, mm-hmm. as opposed to allowing you to do that. But what you're saying makes a lot of sense if you can make that happen. And I hope that one day it does give that opportunity for us to be able to do that, which is why I think branding is so important. Right. And making your voice, you know, doing things like, you know, what I try to do is just get myself out there so that it becomes a unique thing. Yeah. You know, but so.
Because again, like, imagine. So when I listen to you speak and when I listen to your demos, I'm jealous. Right. I don't have that voice. Most people who are looking for voice over work, they compare it. They mostly get to the scenario where, well, we tried it with one person in the office and it sounded horrible. I recorded it myself. It sounded horrible. They're easily impressed. Right?
Gotcha. Right.
So most people, that's why there's work in all different kinds of levels of quality. Over time, people get better taste in who to work with. But that comes right back to the branding part. Most people are wowed by the experience of working with a professional like yourself because you're a professional, because you know about voice acting, because you have knowledge about studios, about audio, about how to record a voiceover. You can help in the direction of the spot.
Right.
And I think if you make your brand more of that, so you're not selling your voiceover, you're selling the experience of getting a voiceover, then you're miles ahead of the rest.
Hey, you know, I'm 150% in agreeance with you on that. I think that's so important. Most of us do not do that. Because we're so focused on, you know, this style, this tone, this way, and as opposed to, you know, most people are trying to, like you said, I learned that when I first started in audiobooks, doing audiobooks, because most of the clientele I was having was coming in, and they had no idea just how the process worked. They didn't understand, hey, how do I get my book published on Amazon, or how do I do this stuff? So I ended up, the majority of work I did was creating step processes so people understood what to do. I even created a thing where I would go and be able to put their stuff on for them because they didn't, you know what I mean? And it was almost like the voiceover part was there, but that was just only part of what they needed. So you're absolutely right. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of voiceovers or a lot of websites. So that actually brings me with AI talk, but with Voice 123, when it comes to a voice actor's website, you know, like this is something I know we talked about just a little bit, but, you know, that kind of focus on it. Do you think with the platforms like yourself, honestly, where is a voice actor's website fall into all of this? Do you know what I mean? Like, how does that pan out? I think it's a great question. I'm always asking myself that with my website. Yeah. You know, because the competition is you and the competition is Fiverr. And I mean, these companies, you guys are hard, big competition. So, you know.
And I don't think it's a secret, but our goal is that over time you don't need a website, but you have a Voice 123 profile, right?
Right.
That's the goal of most of these companies. So, yeah, the competition is hard, especially because we have, that's how Google works. We have thousands of profiles. So they think, okay, any profile that Voice 123 showcases must be relevant. So it's hard to compete unless a person looks for Anthony specifically and knows what they're looking for. They're going to find you. And therefore, it's good to have your own website because it's your business card still. But it's mostly for people that already know that they're trying to find you. In my opinion, when you're spending a lot of money trying to SEO optimize your website, it's not necessarily the smartest way to spend your money because like Fiverr is a $1 billion company. Right.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to compete with them. And Voice 123 has like, we have 500,000 voice actors in our database. That's a lot of profiles to compete with.
Wow.
So I would say that your personal website is the about page. The about me page is the most important part of that. Because by the time I get to your website, I already most likely know you, got referred to you. So I have a basic understanding of who you are. I'm already basically interested in working with you. I just want to know more, a bit more about the person. How does this process with this person work? What are they charging me? And if you have those, that kind of information, if you treat your homepage like that, like a person already knows me, yeah, and my website is all about, hey, this is your experience. This is the experience that you're going to get with me. This is my turnaround time. These are my expectations. And you don't necessarily have to sell so much your demos and your samples, etc. Because most people that land on your personal website are already there. Having said that, yes, my strategy over time is that ideally you don't need a website. You go to Voice on the Three, but we're miles away from that. So for now, I would still invest in it, but slightly different conceptually.
Huh. That's a really good. Thank you. So listen, man, this has been absolutely incredible. You've given so much information. Yeah. What? No, you've been great. I mean, this is really amazing. Is there anything? So I usually ask this. I actually ask this of all the people I interview. So I'm going to ask you the same thing. And I'm interested because you'll have a unique perspective, I think. So I always ask, let's say that, you know, there is a person, for whatever reason, you decided that you are going to take someone, a voice actor from scratch. They're brand new. All right. And you wanted to take them under your wing and you're going to show them how to, you know, make money in this industry. Besides the recording aspect, all that, you know, stuff is done on their own, like, you know, the quality of their work and stuff. What would you recommend that person do starting from scratch to build their business?
It's a great question. I want to come up with a slightly different approach.
Please. Yeah.
I'm going to do the same. And what every new team member in Voice on the Three has to go in our customer support team for a couple of days. Huh. I have to know what it's like to talk to people, to interact with people that are in the voiceover industry. But purely fundamentally, customer service might be the most underestimated aspect of being in the voiceover industry. If I would be your coach, I would say you can only graduate to be a full-time voice actor if you've mastered the art of customer service. So get an extra job in that sense. Go in a company that where you can be a customer success agent or a success officer to get some skills that are fundamental to succeed as a voiceover in a big industry.
Do you have a couple? That's awesome. Do you have a couple skills right off the bat that you just be like, hey, you need to be able to do this, you need to be able to do that? I'm poking at you here.
So I think the hardest part is the person that is on the other side trying to book you has no idea how to put into words what they want.
Right.
Building a brief. I didn't even know what a brief was a couple of years ago, but building a brief is super hard because you have to put an idea into words. If you as an actor have the ability to summarize and to summarize in such a way that you can guide it to a better creative process, the art of the summary is going to help you get so much more work because they're going to value you and think you're an expert. So if you're talking to me, trying to ask the right question to really understand what do I need, the ability to summarize that back makes you look, and you are, but makes you look like the expert that you are, going to get you a lot of recommendations. Those kind of communicational skills are so important in building relationships with people.
Can you give me a brief example of a brief, like what you mean by a brief?
So, but in this case, a brief is I have this 30-second spot. It needs to be very happy. Mm-hmm. It's for this company. My boss wants me to sell X amount of plans. I run a tech company and X amount of plans. I need to cater to the right audience. The audience is about 30 to 50 years old. What do I do? Then you as a voice actor, and this is my script, what do I do? Then you as a voice actor need to come back to, okay. What you basically want them to do is they want to buy your product and your company. What is the most important value that your company has, or what is the most important branding component of your company? Well, they say, well, we're trying to be approachable. Okay, then that's what you should need to put in your brief, and that's how we should build the voiceover. Let me do you a take, and then you do a take, give that back. I know it's a bit clumsy because I'm not often in the studio, but I'm seeing those interactions between voice actors and the voice actors that are able to get out of the minds from the clients what they actually want are the ones that are succeeding so well. They get referred so often. I think that's a very important skill. The art of the summary is crucial.
No, I mean, that's awesome. I see that so much too with people I coach. That's a challenge. If you would ask the majority of voice actors, they would say what they bring is a voiceover. Right. Not what you're saying. Right. Not necessarily like a customer service experience. But, you know, if you take a step back, I think of certain things that I know you're in a different place. And, you know, but, you know, we have everybody can think of a place that just specializes in customer service.
Yeah.
And the difference of that place. And usually they are never those places are never not full. You know, because people want that feeling that you give a crap.
People don't buy product; they buy experiences.
I love that, man.
And getting a voiceover is an experience. And for most people, it's an experience. They happen like once a year. They want it to be great. So it's your job to make it great.
Man, listen, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you. And I'm so excited to share this with everybody listening. So at this point, if you don't know Voice 123, you do now, but you probably already do. Is there anything that you want to leave the listeners with? I know this report, where can they get this report that you guys launched?
Yeah, one of the reasons that we want to really promote the booth, because it's one of those educational materials where we share these kind of industry insights. So go to the booth. Yeah. If you Google Voice on the 3 and the booth, you're going to get there. Because like you said, we're big enough for Google to index us. So
and
go
I'll
there.
Put a link in, I'll put a link in the description, of course, of this as well.
Thanks. Okay. And my recommendation number one is don't start as a paying member on Voice on the 3. Try it out for free.
I really like that. I'm glad you said that, because I wouldn't have thought of that, because I'll be just open other platforms. You start for free on them. You don't really get anything. They don't allow you to do anything. So, you know, that's.
So we're going to try and get you to pay over time because we're a company, but you're going to get an insight of what type of work goes on Voice on the 3. If you think it matches you, then you should do it. If not, keep looking around. There's plenty of opportunities to work.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, my friend. I really appreciate the time. And man, I hope we get a chance to do this again.
I would like
that. Fascinating guy. I really appreciate it. All right. Thank you. And I will talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. I had an absolute blast speaking with Rolf, and I know that this podcast will be definitely one of the best ones that we've done when it comes to real good information about what's happening and what, you know, is possible out there for us voice actors. So thank you guys. As always, check out the information below and some of the links, and I can't wait for you guys listen to this, and till we speak again next time. All right, have a good one. Peace.